Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time of fellowship. It's a privilege. It's one we cherish very much. Thank you for how you bless us always. Thank you for the glory in this house already. We give you praise. We thank you for opening our eyes to your word tonight. Whether people here or people online, we thank you because your word goes forth with power, and like the scripture says, bears fruit, even as it does among us. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know, I keep having on my mind that somebody is worried, you know, worried. They're worried. I think it's money. But I feel like telling you, you know, just to relax, cast your cares upon him, you know, for he cares for you. Actually, the way I sense God is speaking to you is that let the joy of God bubble forth in your heart, you know, and enjoy the moment, because the problem will go, okay? And when it's gone, you will regret that you wasted time worrying. You understand? It will be over. There will be provision. The door will open and all of that. God will get you out of a fix. But it will pain you. Because when he has done it, it will pain you that, had I known that it will be solved like this, I would just have been enjoying myself. So God says, rejoice now. Amen. Hallelujah. If that's yours, you take it. Whether you are here, whether you're online, you take it. Amen. And you do what it says, you rejoice. Amen. You rejoice. You stir up the joy of God in your heart. Hallelujah. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, the 5th chapter. And that's the text we'll be examining tonight. We'll read and we'll try to pick out a few things tonight on what I've simply called spirit-controlled living. Okay, spirit-controlled living. You can call it many titles, actually. You can call it walking in the spirit. You can call it living a full life in the spirit. But I've simply called it spirit-controlled, or the spirit-controlled life, if you wish, the spirit-controlled life. So what does that entail? And how do I live a spirit-controlled life? Okay. So are you there? Galatians chapter 5, have you found it? So welcome. It's a teaching service, our booster service on Thursday is a teaching service, except next week, which is the first Thursday, which is our School of Miracles. Amen. And that's going to be powerful, awesome, as it always is. Amen. And if you know any sick person, if you're a nice person, you tell them to come. Okay? If you know any sick person, if you are nice, you tell them to come. If you are nicer, you will bring them. Amen. That means whatever it takes, you will do it. You will pay for their taxi fare. You will do whatever to get them here. Okay? We've not failed to have a glory of God in manifestation. How many people know what I'm talking about? So when is there miracles happen? Hallelujah. You know, I'm trusting God to see more creative miracles. Now, you know what that means? That means where something is missing, if they remove your eye, and I will grow back. Okay, so that's the level where we are now. Amen. Hallelujah. So if God will recreate an eye that has been removed, how much more heal a body part that is not functioning well? That one will be easy. Abi? Yes, that will be easy. Hallelujah. How many people are joining their faith with mine? You know, that will see great and awesome things. Hallelujah. Okay, so that's next week, Thursday. First Thursday of the month, School of Miracles. Amen. But like I said, it's not just for the sick, it's for all of us. I learn a lot by watching people, by being in meetings, and I learn how people pay attention to the Holy Ghost, how they flow in the Spirit. I learn. Anytime I have the opportunity to watch or be there, I learn. Amen. So that's why it's called a School of Miracles. So things happen, but you also learn. Amen. We learn by precept and by doing. You know, so we teach by precept, that is teaching one by one, but we also teach by doing. So in the doing, you can learn a lot of things. Hallelujah. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Oh, that means atibebe law, amen. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is, that's verse 22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So years ago, sometime I went to a meeting. I ministered. God's power was in manifestation, great measure. All kinds of manifestations of the Spirit and people falling, slain in the Spirit and all of that. And when I was done, a dear close cousin of mine was asking me, you know, that night, and he said, how do you do those things? You know, how do you do it? I like his passion for God, and I like people who are passionate. I like people who love God, you know, and are passionate about God and the things of God, who desire the things of, you know, as I'm saying that, in Yoruba we say, Oshishon, Abi, how else do you put it? People who do ishon about the things of God. Amen. They are not satisfied with being ordinary, in quotes. You know, even though I always like to tell people that there's nothing ordinary about a Christian. No Christian is ordinary. Okay? But there are people who don't see the things of God as ordinary, and they are not satisfied. You know, when you go to a swimming pool for the first time, how many people know how to swim here? You know, so if they took you to the swimming pool, they will warn you. So all of you are looking at me. So you all belong in my category of non-swimmers, isn't it? So when people like us, when we are taken to the pool, they will tell us to stay on one side of the pool, which is the shallow end of the pool, where we cannot drown. Where if I stand like this, my leg will be touching the floor, and like half my body will be outside the water. So the coach is not afraid. He says, stay there. That's your level. Are you with me? But some people, even though, I mean, you put some children there, before you know it, they will go to the deep end of the pool. Okay? I like people in the things of the Spirit who don't stay at the shallow end. I like people who are not satisfied with the shallow end. I like people who want to go to the deep end of the pool. So that's the kind of person that this person is or was. And he was asking me, he said, how do you do those things, you know? Why I replied him that, I believe it's just inspiration of the Holy Ghost, because I did not really answer what he was asking me. And the answer I gave him when he says, how do you get those things to happen? I just told him, I said, that is the easy part. I said, that is the easy part. That one is easy. The more difficult thing are the fruits of the Spirit. You know, what we call the fruits of the Spirit. So there are certain things we call the gifts of the Spirit. You read a lot of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's the kind of thing, 12, 13, 14. Okay, but there are certain things we call the fruits of the Spirit. And most times when people want to talk about the fruits of the Spirit, they come to Galatians 5 that I just read. Okay, remember I'm talking about the Spirit-controlled life. Are you with me? Can you say the Spirit-controlled life? Now, why did I say that story? Because I think that the gifts of the Spirit are the easy part. The fruits of the Spirit are the real work. The fruits only grow on a tree when that tree is really mature. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when you talk about somebody who is actually submitted to the Holy Ghost, who walks in the Spirit and all of that, it's not the gifts. It's actually the fruits. The fruits are a real, or the more real determinants of your being Spirit controlled, of your walking in the Spirit, of your being full of the Holy Ghost. The fruits of the Spirit are a better determinant. I'll still prove that to you from Scripture. Are you still with me? In medicine, we would they would teach us. We would look at, a disease. You know, sometimes they would tell you these are the symptoms and the signs of that disease. Meaning that if you sat in a clinic, somebody comes in, complains about this. You ask certain questions along this line. If all of those things that you ask are positive, he says, yes, I have them. Yes, I feel that way. Yes, I feel that way. And then you examine the person and you find certain things. Then they tell you this is the condition it's likely to be. These are possible other options that you should rule out, but it's likely to be this one. Okay? But remember my choice of words. It's likely to be. Okay? You are not sure. But they tell you sometimes on certain disease conditions. We talk about something that is, we call it pathognomonic. Forget the grammar. Okay? But it's just to show any learned person somewhere that I know what I'm saying. Are you with me? But when we call it pathognomonic, what it means simply is that for certain disease conditions, they will tell you that when you examine that patient, if you find a particular thing or the other, it is that disease for sure. It cannot be anything else. It is that disease. So there are certain diseases that have some things, some signs. There are some that if you look in a person's mouth and you see something in a particular location, this is what that condition is. It is what it is. I mean, almost 100%. No, you don't need lab tests. Anything you do will just confirm for you that that's what it is. Are you there? The gifts of a spirit in manifestation. Yes, a good sign of a person's walk in the Spirit, but I want to tell you that they are likely to be a good sign. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the fruits of the Spirit are a sure sign. Are you with me? The fruits of the Spirit are a sure sign. Now, the verse I just read, I'm going to read to you verse 16 in the Amplified Version. That's what it says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, shall be? The Amplified Version, Galatians 5:16 says, but I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh. I'll come back to it. But when you say, how come you say the gifts of the Spirit are not a sure sign? I'll tell you why. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I didn't know well, but again, this is booster service, so I try to do it a bit more systematically. I like people to look at their Bibles and all of that. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and this is also why we get confused. Now, don't forget, for instance, that Jesus was talking about false prophets, okay? And what did Jesus say about it? He didn't say, you shall know them, by what? By that you know the true prophets by their gifts. He said you shall know them by their fruits. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he went for the more sure sign. Not the gifts. Many people miss it because they're following the gifts. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But he said, look for the fruits. Are you hearing me? Whether you know it or not, because it is impossible. Matthew 12, Jesus was teaching there. He said it is impossible for a good tree to bring forth bad fruit. He said it is equally impossible for a bad tree to bring forth good fruit. So good will produce good and not bad. Bad will produce bad and not good. Are you there? And then he says, look, it's either you make the tree good. If you want good to come out of it, that tree has to be made good. Okay, so it means that whoever it is, whatever you might be, there is no faking the fruits. Are you with me? Now, I may not see you often enough to know, you know, I mean, what fruits you exhibit or not, but anybody who has significant time with you or who knows that person well will tell you that the fruits are faulty. Are you there? So one biblical reason, Jesus said, look for the fruits, not the gifts. Number two, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll come back to Galatians 5, which is our real text. I'm just still introducing. But are you getting anything yet? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 4, it says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. Okay? That's what I want you to see. So Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and he says, hey guys, you are so endowed by God that you don't come behind in any gift. Spiritual endowment, spiritual gifts, abundant. No wonder that it's the letter to the Corinthian church that Paul is our biggest textbook on the gifts of the Spirit. Are you with me? That's the biggest text we have on the gifts of the Spirit, where Paul then writes chapter 12. He gets to chapter 12. He had to start teaching them about the gifts, and then he teaches, continues in chapter 13. The gifts have to be operated in love. Then he goes on to chapter 14, how you operate the gifts in a congregation and all of that. That is the deepest text we have on the gifts of the Spirit and how to walk with them. Because he says to that Corinthian church, he says, that church is amazing. You are endowed with gifts. But look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people. Ah? Let somebody say, ah. I say, ah. Paul, you wrote to some people, you said they came behind in no gift. Then you said, I cannot speak to you as spiritual people. Wow. The man says, but I have to speak to you as to carnal people. The people who came behind in no gifts. Are you hearing me? He says, I speak to you as to babes in Christ. Are you still there? He said, I fed you with milk and not solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. He said, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Are you still with me, anybody? So the measure of your walk in the Spirit, the measure of your maturity and your walk with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit-controlled life are the fruits of the Spirit. So now back to Galatians 5:16. The Amplified says, live and walk habitually in the Spirit. That's how it began. So this is what he's talking about in this whole text. Live and walk habitually in the Spirit. He says, because anybody who does that will not fulfill the cravings of the flesh. Meaning we can tell you can tell. Okay, because by the time we start looking at all of the things that he identifies here are the works of the flesh, the things he identifies as the fruits of the Spirit, it means that if I see the works of the flesh in my life, I am not living habitually in the Spirit. That's what it means. Does anybody get the logic? It means I'm not living the Spirit-controlled life. Now, let me also say this before I move on. That it means that Spirit-controlled life has to be intentional. Are you still there? It has to be intentional. It has to be my determination. As a matter of fact, the Amplified says, live and walk habitually. Let somebody say habitually. The word habitually is a derivation, or it is an extension of the word habits. Are you there? It means that what he's telling me is that I should develop a habit. I should develop a habit of living and walking in the Spirit. I should make that a habit. We know about habits, and unfortunately, most times we have used the word habit with negative things. So people don't like the word habits. Are you there? But they are good habits. And what this is also telling me is that I can cultivate habits that are good. Are you still there? You know that the gospel is good news. It's good news. So the beginning good news of this text is that no matter who I am now, no matter what my life is like now, I can cultivate a habit of living a spirit-controlled life. Are you there? I can cultivate that habit. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter who I am. It doesn't matter what my background is. I can cultivate the habit of a spirit-controlled life now. I can start it now. And I can create and cultivate that habit over time until I live and walk habitually in the Spirit. You know, sometimes when you look at people, I was ministering years ago to a lady that I worked with. And she was telling me, you know, I led her to Christ and all that. And then she was telling me, say, I can't do this. You know, and she really opened up to me. I said, you know, I'm a sex addict. Say, I can't do this. I said, look, I have good news for you. I said, I also thought I couldn't do it. I also thought I couldn't live right. I also thought it was impossible. I said, so, and you find out that just like me, there are many people, are you hearing what I'm saying, who have had difficulties in their background when they were growing up, and they got into all kinds of vices, and then they get saved, and they feel that I can't do it. I said, it's the most popular song that the devil has, is to tell you can't do it, it's not your type. I said, but if I can, you can. If Kenneth Copeland can, you can. Did you know he was a chain smoker? That's Kenneth Copeland. How many people know Kenneth Copeland? Did you know he was a chain smoker? I mean, but today you can't reconcile. Are you hearing me? You can't reconcile the person with who you are seeing now. I mean, he may not speak much about it, but he was a chain smoker. In fact, he said after he got saved, he went to a meeting. He had cigarettes in his pocket like this. Fuck. Are you still with me? And I'm saying that there are many people who have come out of all kinds of backgrounds that ordinarily is not possible. But if it says live and walk habitually in the Spirit, it means that we can begin to cultivate that spirit-controlled lifestyle. The Bible says in the Amplified, it says that what that lifestyle turns out to be is that you'll be guided, you'll be controlled, you'll be led by the Holy Ghost in all areas of life. And when you get to that stage, you will not fulfill anymore the cravings of the flesh. Let me say the other good news is that you don't need to try and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle to deal with your vices. Listen to me carefully. Are you there? You only need to want to get rid of the vices, but struggle to walk in the Spirit. Are you there? So you want to get rid of the vices? Yes. I don't want to drink. I don't want to smoke. I don't want, you know, whatever it is. You should not want it anymore. Are you there? But your struggle should be, I'm pressing into God. I'm pressing in and I'm creating a habit of walking and living a spirit control. Like, that's where you put your effort. Now, the more you succeed in that, the less of this one you will crave for. Are you still there? So you can tell when you are living this spirit controlled life, you can tell that the works of the flesh become diminished. Okay, the more you are succeeding at walking in the Spirit, the more diminished the work of the flesh becomes. Can I have an amen? Amen. Now, so what does that mean? So it lends itself to good study for us to look at some of those things. Okay, now actually I said something earlier on, and I hope you don't forget it, that if I walk in the Spirit, I don't fulfill the loss of the flesh. Are you there? Okay, just like you. You know, one day, I mean, when I was in high school, I was just praying. I'd just gotten saved. I was praying, and I was just praying to God. And I said, God, help me. My mind is so polluted. Help me. In fact, you know one of the prayers I prayed was, I said, God, kill me. I said, it's better I die now so that I go to heaven. I'm sure. You understand? It's better you kill me now so I just go. Let's forget, you know, even trying to clean up. But let me just die now so that we are sure of where I'm going now. You understand? Of course, he didn't answer me. But you know what he told me? He said, walk in the Spirit. Are you there? He said, walk in the Spirit. So then, you know what I started doing? One of the things I started doing was that I started cultivating the habit of praying in tongues all the time. 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 We'll get to that, I mean, towards the end now. Because the more I did that, what it did for me was that it put my mind on the things of God. Are you with me? And I saw that the cravings of the flesh were going down. Are you still with me? Now I don't pray, kill me. Because I don't need to be killed. Hallelujah. Hey, because now I know I can walk at liberty. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, so I said something earlier on which I want you to take note of. Which is that if I live the Spirit-controlled life, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? But not only so, the fruits of the Spirit will become more manifest. So if I am not living the Spirit-controlled life, I will see these works of the flesh still, you know, dominating in my life. Not only that, I will not see the fruits of the Spirit. So I said that so that you can do self-diagnosis. You can sit there and diagnose yourself. Not diagonize, so. Okay? Can I say, no, not diagnose. Say it. Say not diagonize. Say diagnose. Okay, because you can't go to a church pastored by a doctor and then you go out and you say diagonize. I will deny you. They say, that's my pastor. I say, no, I'm not. Are you there? So you can do some self-diagnosis, okay? Make sure you can look at it. This works of the flesh. Oh, no. I have less problem with this, or it's no longer there, blah, blah. You are getting to where you are living that Spirit-controlled life. But also, that's not enough. Also, look at that other side. Am I seeing more of these fruits of the Spirit? Are you with me? I read it again before we look at the works of the flesh. I'll read the Amplified again so that you get it, okay? It says, but I say walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, that is, of the human nature without God. Okay, so verse 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness. What's uncleanness? Every kind of uncleanness. I'm sure you can diagnose that. Contentions. What's contentions? Anybody give me another word for that? What's contentions? Fights, quarrels. Quarreling spirit. You know, some people have quarreling spirit. You know, there are all kinds of spirits we cast out of people, especially in this part of the world. You know, quarreling spirit, lying spirit. Some people can have spirits, but many people don't have spirit. They just lie. You understand? It's not spirit. They just lie. Okay? And sometimes believers do it too. Are you with me? Because if he's telling you as a command to walk and live in the Spirit, it means that it's possible for me as a Christian not to do so. Are you there? It means it's possible that as a Christian, I can live and die as a Christian, but I don't live a Spirit-controlled life. Okay, so contentions, jealousies. How many people believe that Christians can be jealous of anybody? You think so? Aha, so okay, all right. So we need to live and walk in the Spirit more. Can I have an amen? Okay, so jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Have you ever heard any Christian say, my problem is anger? Have you ever met any Christian before? You say, I'm very nice, so it's just that I can be angry sometimes. I can be angry. My anger is not good. My anger. Where did you buy it? Or who gave it to you? My anger is not good. And they are proud of it. That's pride, isn't it? Say, I'm very nice, but my anger, it's just that my anger, you don't want to see my red eye. You don't want to, you know, somebody say you don't want to, you are looking for my trouble. I say, where did you get it? The problem is that you have trouble at all. It's not the person looking for the trouble. It's the fact that you even have trouble at all. That's the real problem. Are you there? Okay, so jealousy is outburst of wrath. Selfish ambitions. Ooh. Are you still there? You know, I like these softer ones. You know, not adultery, fornication. I think those ones are obvious. People know what they are. Selfish ambitions. What are those? When all you are thinking about is me, myself, and I want to be, a billionaire. Huh? Abby? Billionaire. Hey, are you still there? Believe me, Christians have that as a vision. I want to wake up in my, I was hearing it recently in my barber shop. I want to wake up in my, is it Ferrari? Or my Bugatti? You know. There's nothing in there that says that I want to be a blessing. Are you with me? It's about what? I want to have my yacht. I want to have my Bugatti. I want to have... So it says what? Selfish ambition. The more you live a spirit-controlled life, the more you start thinking about other people. You start thinking about impact. You start thinking about how do I be a blessing to people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not saying, look, listen, God gives us all things what? Richly to... enjoy. Is that in your Bible? It says he gives us all things richly to enjoy. So that's biblical. But what he's saying is that, look, just the selfish ambition of just me, myself, and I, you have less of it. You start thinking more about how do I impact people's lives when you start living a spirit-controlled life. Hallelujah. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness. That's verse 21. Revelries, atibebe, Lord, alike, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen, I'm not going into it, but I'll say to dismiss it. That when people tell you, once saved, forever saved, look at scriptures like this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at scriptures like this and say, what does this mean then? Are you hearing me? I can live anyhow under grace. What does this mean then? Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. These are the things you will get if you are indeed living a spirit controller. This is how you know you are walking in the Spirit. But you will see a lot more that you are able to walk in love. You'll find a lot more that there is joy in there. Joy is internal. Let's call it, for the sake of understanding, joy is internal happiness. For the sake of understanding. Internal happiness. What do I mean by that? It means that it's not dependent on what's happening around me. It means that I am happy, irrespective. Was that Micah that said that? Micah 7. He said, I hope that's Micah. He says, though the fig tree will not blossom, the vine brings forth no fruit. He said, yet I will rejoice. Joy is not dependent on what's happening. Oh, yes, I got the new job. Oh, yes, some money came in, then I am joyful. No, sir, you are happy. Are you with me? But you are joyful. You are full of joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It has nothing to do with the external. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Can I hear you say joy is a fruit of the Spirit? So there are people who wake up and, in quotes, they are just happy. Are you still there? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. They are just there. There's nothing that moves them. They are just happy. Because they live a spirit-controlled life. It has nothing. What's it called? Kenneth Copeland said, and I quote, he said, I don't ask Kenneth Copeland how he feels. I tell Kenneth how to feel. Did you get that? He said, I tell Kenneth how to feel. Somebody said, what's he talking about? You tell Kenneth. Are you not Kenneth? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul was speaking and he said what? I put under my body. Who are the I? Sorry for my grammar, but who are the I? Are you hearing me? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Have you ever read that before? He said, they that run in a race run all as so that they might win the prize. I'll be from above verse 24. It says, he that runs and wants to win the prize is disciplined or temperate in all things. He said, I do not want to run and then I myself become a castaway. He said, so I put under my body. Who is high? Are you with me? So he's calling what? Who is the high? His spirit. The spirit is the real you. Are you still with me? The spirit is the real you. So when they carry and they say, the man has died, and then they put the Baba down, and they say, Baba, Baba, give Baba son, Dada. Baba is not there. You know, they are putting Baba in the coffin and say, turn him well so that Baba will lie well. Baba is not there. Baba is gone. Are you hearing me? So some people will say, what, in 10 years' time, we want to turn Baba's back. Because he's been lying on one side, must be paining him, we want to turn his back. So they will do another party to turn Baba's back. You know, wherever Baba went, he went the moment his spirit left the body. I hope I've not distracted you too much. Are you still there? That joy is a fruit of the spirit. It's internal. Okay? These are the ways you know that you are living the spirit-controlled life. Look at other things. He says there will be what? Long-suffering. What is long-suffering? The ability to bear for long a person or a condition that is not favorable. Are you still with me? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So it doesn't sound like the things we'll expect, isn't it? But it says this is the way. This is the way to know it. Gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Okay, I'm looking at the time, and I'm thinking I have to wrap up. So let me try to summarize. I want to tell you two things, but maybe we'll do that next time. Two things that you have to do in order to live the spirit-controlled life. Two things, okay? But tonight, what have we been examining? What is that spirit-controlled life? When I was growing up in the faith, we used to read some books. They were very popular then by Tim and Beverly LaHaye. I don't know if you ever came across them. It talks about the spirit-controlled temperament. The spirit-controlled woman. So they are the spirit-controlled series, but we're talking about in general what? The spirit-controlled life. That's what the Bible calls also what? From our main text, that's what the Bible calls walking in the spirit. So that walking in the spirit is not, you know, some people, they said some people are so, when you say they are spiritual, some people think that being spiritual means that they are weird. Have you ever met such spiritual people? That when you are talking to them, you are discussing. Have you gone to visit somebody and you are discussing? You say, Sorry, what were you saying? And you continue talking. Then you start saying, Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Sorry, Jerry. You know, and that's what some people called what? The walking in the spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But what we are seeing is that being a spiritual person actually means you're a more relatable person. Can you see that in what we read? Can you see it in what we have read tonight? That being spiritual means you are more relatable. Being spiritual is not that you are weird in your office, nobody can understand you, nobody can, no, that's not what it means. It actually means that if you're a spiritual person, the more spiritual you are, the more relatable you should be. You should be the favorite in your class, favorite in your workplace, favorite on the neighborhood. Everybody can relate to you. How many people think that Jesus was spiritual and walked in the spirit? How many people think so? Guess what? Children loved him. Are you still there? Children wanted to go jump around with him and jump on his lap. In fact, the disciples were upset. Kai! Holy lenshime. So when they brought children to him, they dropped them. You don't know the man of God. And Jesus said, hey, 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 let the children come to me. Are you still following what I'm saying? So the spirituality, the walking in the spirit, the spirit-controlled life, makes you a better personality. And there are several scriptures that will show you that. Are you hearing me? If you go to 2 Peter, I think 2 Peter, and we can try to close that. So 2 Peter, you know, after I had talked about the chapter 1, that is, after I had talked about the, his divine power, verse 3, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. You know, and he has given us exceeding great and precious promises so that we become partakers of the divine nature. So what are we supposed to do after that? He said, for that very reason, verse 5, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. So he's saying what? The more spiritual you are, give yourself to getting these virtues that make you what? More relatable. At the end of the day, it says if you have these things, then you will come short in nothing. You will not be unfruitful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It says, in fact, anybody who lacks these things, verse 9, is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. This is A-level Christianity. Are you with me? I preached something on that years ago, called it A-level Christianity. I think that was from Matthew 5, the Beatitudes, you know, thereabout. So it's A-level Christianity. And all the ones where Jesus said, if they slap you on one cheek, you turn the other one. If they ask you, or a coach, you give them more than that. If he asks you for this, you give him twice. Are you there? Now, that's A-level Christianity, where he then concludes and he says, if anybody persecutes you, you bless him. If anybody uses you, then you do good to him. And I pray that as A-level Christianity, because that is the one that shows us that you are like God. You have become more like God. And that's why he concluded it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. He said, therefore, be ye perfect. The word perfect means mature. Even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So your spiritual maturity and your walk in the Spirit is shown by distance. Let's stand on our feet. So next time I'm teaching, I'll conclude and we'll speak about the two things. Okay, we'll speak about the two things that will help me to develop, because he says to me, I should live and walk habitually. So the two things that will help me to live and walk habitually in the Spirit. Take a moment and talk to God tonight. Usually, you know, when I sit, I'm listening to a message and all that. Yeah, I'm blessed by everything. But very often, one thing strikes me. Two things strike me. And those things are the things I think about. I pray about them. Because I know God is particularly putting a finger on that for me at that moment. And I just stick with that. Because again, I know that it's not very easy to try to undo 10 things at once. But once that one thing or two things strike me more than others, I hold on to that because I know that's my rhema word of the moment. That is what God is saying to me, particularly at that moment. You know, recently I was driving, listening to a message, and the preacher was referring to Psalm 91. Of course, I've read even Psalm 91 so many times in the last 1 year. I mean, most of us have read it again and again and again. And then so you can imagine somebody referring to Psalm 91. But he referred to it and it struck me. Because he says no evil will come near your dwelling. And what struck me is the fact that it's not God. God doesn't want me to get through the evil. He says that it won't even come near me. I shouldn't even be seeing anything down toward, anything that I don't desire. Any evil should not happen around me at all. It shouldn't be that, oh, well, my car just passed when the armed robbers were just leaving or as they left. No, no, no. I shouldn't even see it. It should not happen near me at all. And I've been meditating on that. That's how God speaks to us. So take a moment, thank Him for the word tonight. Thank Him for the message. But thank Him for the word particularly to you tonight. And also make a decision. Maybe there are things that as He said that to you, there are things you thought to yourself, I need to work on this, I need to do this, I need to do that. Ben, you need to make that commitment to God. Say it to Him, God, this is what I'm going to start doing now. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for everyone tonight. Thank you for your word, everyone here, everyone online, everyone on radio, everyone listening some other time. Thank you because the word you've gotten across to us comes with the grace to do that which is necessary to fulfill that which you have said to us tonight. Thank you for that grace is released upon us in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you because, again, we know at all times as your word goes forth, it goes with power. Thank you because that power means that whatever is needed, you sent your word, delivered them from their destructions. Whatever is needed in anyone's life right now, we thank you for a release of power to cause it to happen. Healing, deliverance, salvation, whatever. Your power is released upon them even now in the name of Jesus. I give you the praise, the glory, the honor. In Jesus' name, I pray.